Good morning and welcome to the Let the Bible Speak program. This morning we're going to answer from God's Word six soul-searching questions. And I'm glad that you have joined us this morning for this study. We're going to address what is most vital to you in your life right now. A lot of people ask questions about things throughout the day. That's not a problem. The problem is they don't ask the right questions, the real questions, the important questions in life. They deal with a lot of things going on at work and school and this current pandemic and different things that are going on in their life, and there's nothing wrong with taking care of those matters, but they avoid the important questions of life, those questions that deal with their relationship with God. A lot of people are asking, well, did I get the COVID shot? And where do I get the COVID shot? And is there going to be variants coming up in the future? And will we have more lockdowns? And people are asking all kinds of questions about COVID. But COVID, as serious as it is, does not affect our eternal salvation one way or the other. We need to be asking some other questions. And people are asking questions about work and school, and will schools reopen, and how long do we have to wear masks, and that type of thing. And there's nothing wrong necessarily with those questions, but those really aren't the important questions that deal with, again, our eternal soul and where it will spend eternity, in heaven or hell. When was the last time you heard people asking questions about their relationship with God? People in government are not asking questions about our relationship with God. The president is not. The governors and the mayors and the various politicians are not asking questions about our soul's relationship with God. And somebody might say, well, government, that's not their place to ask those questions. Well, maybe not as an entity, but as individuals, we need to be asking those questions. Those questions are not just simply something that preachers need to be asking. Each and every citizen needs to be asking these questions, not only here, but around the world. We need to focus on that which is truly important and eternal, and let these other things be secondary. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 16, and verse 24 said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. Then look at his question. For what shall a man be profited if he gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he render unto every man according to his deeds. There's a coming judgment day. Jesus is going to come again. And the question that he asked in relationship to that is, what does it matter if a person can gain the whole world, materially speaking, money and things, if he's going to lose his life or his soul? What does it matter? What does it profit? The rhetorical question is answered in the negative. It doesn't profit. It doesn't profit a person to gain all things materially if you're going to lose your soul in the coming judgment day when Jesus makes you and me give an account of what we've done in the body. And so notice his question. It deals with that which is important, that which is something that we need to focus on involving the second coming of Christ. We need to be looking into the future concerning that. So this morning, our questions deal with that which is most vital. Number one, where did we come from? Number two, who are we? Number three, why are we here? Number four, where are we going? Number five, what is our danger? And number six, what is our destiny? Let's answer these questions this morning from God's Word. Now, the first one, where did we come from? There will be people who will deal with that question sometimes, especially in higher education and in the classrooms of science. There will be what is called evolution that is taught. And starting around 1850, Charles Darwin, who is the father of modern-day evolution, says that we just simply come from a long process of changes evolving from one organism into another organism. And it started with the simple amoeba, and cells and small living organisms, and those things eventually evolved into various reptiles and things in the water, and then some of those things crawled out on land, and then you begin to have the evolution of various animals, and they evolve in different ways, and eventually you get up to monkeys and apes and chimpanzees, and then eventually they evolve into man. Thanks to Charles Darwin and others, that has become a prevalent theory, not a fact, a theory in education. And many young people have to sit in the classroom and hear that which is a theory but has never been proven. And so they would say, well, we just simply came from monkeys, and monkeys came from a long process of evolution. Well, if you tell people that they evolved from animals, they're going to act like animals. And we wonder sometimes why people act the way they do in our society today. But we did not evolve from a long process of evolution. There is change, what we call microevolution. There's change within kinds. And that's true in the plant and animal kingdom, and it's true in our world. You can have changes within a kind. You can have different kinds of roses. You can have different kinds of trees. You can have different kinds of corn and other kinds of vegetables. You can have different kinds of dogs, but a dog never evolves into a cow. You can have different kinds of cows, but cows never evolve into a giraffe. So there is such a thing as microevolution. And with regard to humans, male and female, you can see around the world slight changes in height and skin color and the shape of people's eyes and hair color and that type of thing. And so even humans, there are slight changes within males and females, but they are still males and females, and they don't evolve into something else, and they have not evolved from some other species or kind. And so there is such a thing as microevolution, but what Darwin and others taught was macroevolution, where you have change within kinds from amoeba all the way up to man, and that certainly is not the case. Where did we come from? We were Adam and Eve. We came from Adam and Eve, and they were created by God. Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was waste and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. And Moses goes on to record what was created on the second and third and fourth and fifth and sixth days. And as a part of the sixth day creation, we read in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And we find the specifics of that in chapter 2 and verse 7, And Jehovah God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And with regard to woman, we read in chapter 2 and verse 21, God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which Jehovah God had taken from the man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. So direct creation by God of male and female. And notice male and female. There are two and only two genders. And for some reason, people have decided over the past few years, this was not always the case. People had their senses and their wits and their mind about them to know that males are males and females are females. And there's no changing that. That is a biological DNA fact, and it cannot be changed. And God made Adam and Eve, male and female. And this so-called transgender is just simply a lie. And you can change some of your outward features. You can change the way you look. But a man will always be a man. He can grow his hair long, and he can change other things about his body, and he can take estrogen and female hormones, and his body will change. That's true. But he is still a man. And I would argue a grotesque one at that. And a woman can take testosterone and she can change her body, but she's a woman. And when a man and a woman start trying to be another gender, which they will never be, all they do is grotesque themselves. And they need to stop that. And we live in a society today where nobody wants to stand up and say no to this. Everybody's allowed to say what they want and do what they want and have what they want, and it's hurting themselves and others. I heard the well-known Caitlyn Jenner, I will not call her she or her, that is Bruce Jenner, who's just simply changed his name and his looks, and Bruce Jenner said yesterday in an interview, he even admitted that the rate of suicide among transgender people is extremely high. And he even recognizes that because people are trying to do things to themselves and their bodies that they should not be doing, and they are regretting that later, and they're having emotional problems with that later, and the suicide rate is higher among them than other people. And he even recognizes that. When you change what God makes, you're going to hurt yourself and others around you. But we are created directly by God. And all mankind have come from that original pair of Adam and Eve. Paul recognizes this when he is in Athens in Acts chapter 17 and verse 25, speaking of God, neither is he served by men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he himself gives to all life and breath and all things. And he made of one, Adam and Eve, every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed seasons and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek God. And that is our goal and our role in this life, where it should be. I was told just earlier today in preparing for this lesson, the National Day of Prayer, that our own president didn't even mention God. He talked about prayer, but he would not talk about who to pray to. He did not mention God. And someone chalked it up to, you know, his young intern who writes the script and he reads it, but he claims to be a Catholic. He should know better and at least mention the person that we're to be praying to. We need to be seeking God. And that's our problem in our country. We've got fewer and fewer people doing that. And we have taught evolution so much, so many people have believed that lie, that we are now seeing in our country a very atheistic, a very secular nation, and we're seeing the problems that are coming from that. So when we refuse to have God in our knowledge, we will see all kinds of bad things happen. And Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 1. We did that recently on a program. We won't read that again now. Where did we come from? There is design everywhere in the universe. And one of the easiest ways to understand that we have a creator is to just simply look around at the world. The intricate workings of the human body, the intricate workings of the plant and animal kingdom, our solar system, and many other kinds of things. One of the most simple principles to understand is found in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4. For every house is builded by someone, but he that built all things is God. We readily understand as we ride down the road and we see a subdivision, we understand that those houses did not just simply pop up on their own. Every house is built by someone, and he who built all things is God. When we look at the universe around us, from the smallest part of the atom to the wide expanse of the galaxies and everywhere in between, there is design, which demands a designer. And no, it is not the Big Bang. The Big Bang is such a popular notion today that they keep dropping the number. It's down to about 13 billion years ago. When I was young, it was up in the 20 billion range, and they've dropped it down to 13 billion. Maybe if they keep going, they'll drop it actually to a point that matches with Scripture. But they're down to about 13 billion. And supposedly a ball of matter, physical matter, exploded in a big bang, and it is shooting outward at a rapid speed, a lot of force, and from that mass of material exploding, we get everything in the universe, including us. Now, does that make sense? Friends, when was the last time you saw an explosion create an orderly anything? Mind is what creates order and organisms and functioning products. Mind does that. When was the last time you saw any explosion create anything orderly? Volcano, bomb going off, whatever. It does not create order, it creates chaos. Stop and think about this. The evolutionist says, well, all of the components necessary to create mankind and animals and plants and everything, all of those components were originally there in that mass, that ball that exploded in the Big Bang. And when there was the Big Bang, over a long period of time, those components eventually evolved into mankind. Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever seen an explosion of components create anything? Take, for example, a TV factory. Take, for example, the Samsung factory. And take all of the people out of that factory and just have the various components laying around. And they're laying around at the different stations along the way in the process there, the assembly line. All the people are gone. You've just got all the components of a TV. And when that factory blows up, somewhere outside the factory, there is a TV. Is that what happens? When an automobile factory has all of the components along the assembly line, the Corvette plant up in Bowling Green, all the people are out of it, there's various components along the way, that whole factory just blows up. And all of a sudden, outside, there's a Corvette ready to go and drive off the lot. No, you can even have components, but when they're exploded, they don't create anything. Minds put that car together. People's minds put that TV together. And so it's not enough to say, well, all of the components were there, and when they were exploded in the Big Bang, they eventually formed. No, the formation comes by mind, and that mind is God. Well, then somebody says, well, it didn't happen immediately. That's why it takes billions of years eventually for those components to come together and form into something. No, time is not the solution, and that's what the evolutionist says. Just have enough time and it'll produce these types of things. No, you can have an explosion of a Samsung factory or the Corvette plant, and those individual components will lay out there by themselves on their own and eventually decay. They're not going to come together just on their own, and time is not going to allow them to come together. So we came from God. Number two, we are human beings made in the image of God. We have a conscience. We are not highly evolved animals, and we are responsible for our actions. And we have a sense of morality, right and wrong, and we have a sense of accountability to the one who made us. In Psalm chapter 8, verses 4 and 5. Psalm chapter 8, verses 4 and 5. And we need to be asking this question, what is man? And for far too long, that has been answered, well, we're just an evolved animal. We've got to stop saying that. It's not true. Psalm 8, verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him but a little lower than the angels, and crowned him with glory and honor, and have made him to have dominion over the work of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and yea, all the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, what passes through the paths of the seas. O Jehovah our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. We are responsible creatures made in the image of God. Back there in Genesis chapter 1, we need to remember that very important statement in verse 27. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. To be made in the image of God is to have a sense of morality, is to have a conscience, is to have the ability to think and reason. And these things are put in us by God. The animals and the plants cannot and do not do those types of things. Animals have an instinct by God, but they do not have a conscience and a sense of morality. In Psalm 144, verses 3 and 4, Jehovah, what is man that thou takes knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makes account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passes away. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute with regard to death. But who are we? We are moral beings made in the image of God, not highly evolved animals. Number three, where are we? And why are we here? We are here to love God, not to serve ourselves. We're here to fulfill our duty of service to God. Jesus said that of all of the commandments of the Old Testament, when he was asked what is the greatest, and he points out two commandments upon which all of the whole law rests, and that is to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, Matthew 22:37. And with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second likened unto this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments, the whole law hangs and the prophets. In other words, everything in the Old Testament can be divided up as laws dealing with our relationship with God or laws dealing with our relationship with our fellow man. And we need to be loving God more than anything. We need to make it our aim, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 9, to be pleasing to the Lord. The next verse, because we must stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the deeds that are done in the body. There's a coming judgment day. We need to get back to loving God, obeying Him, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. That would take care of a lot of problems that we currently have in our nation. Where are we going? We're all headed for the grave. Hebrews 9 and verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. There's not going to be multiple rebirths. There's not going to be reincarnation. We're all headed to the grave, and we're all headed to the judgment day. And we need to remember that. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We must all give an account to the Lord of the deeds done in the body. Romans 14, verse 10. Revelation 21, 11 through 15. All the dead will be raised and stand before God. He will open the books, His word, His law. He will also open the book of life to see if we are going to be there. We've got to be ready for that day. And along that line, number 5, what is our danger? The danger is what Jesus spoke of, and that is losing our soul. We are in danger of losing our soul. Today, people talk about global warming and this and that, and they're deflecting attention away from what is most important, and that is their soul. We're in danger of neglecting our salvation and facing the wrath of God. When Jesus comes again, 2 Thessalonians 1:8, if we have not obeyed the gospel, we're going to receive the vengeance and the wrath of God when He comes with His angels in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God and obey not the gospel. And so that is extremely important. That's your danger, friend, not global warming. And then last of all, what is our destiny? We face one of two eternal destinies. It's not complete annihilation. When we die, we go to an intermediate state called Hades. Luke 16, 19 and following teaches that. And there we await the judgment day. There will be a resurrection of everyone, and we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There will be a resurrection, and in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46, we will either go away into eternal destruction or hell, or eternal life, heaven. Friend, where will you be in that day? Where did we come from? God. Who are we? Moral beings created in the image of God. Why are we here? To love God and love our neighbor as ourself. Where are we all going? We're headed to the grave and then the judgment day. What is our danger? The danger of losing our soul if we don't take care of it and obey the gospel today. And last of all, what is our destiny? Well, you'll determine that, friend. If you obey the Lord and live faithfully, it'll be heaven. If you don't obey the Lord and you don't live faithfully, it'll be hell. Those are the 6 soul-searching questions that we need to be considering today and put at the forefront of our mind. Thank you for joining us, and I hope that you'll have a good day.